2011 was a momentous year in the Middle East as decades-old regimes fell like dominoes in Tunisia, Egypt, Libya. But what happens 20 years after uprisings like those? Well, some clues can be found in northern Iraq. 20 years ago, the Kurds battled and threw off Saddam Hussein's authority. But last year, they were back on the streets protesting against their new political masters. The BBC's Gabriel Gatehouse reports.
It's February 2011 in democratic, post-Saddam-era Kurdistan. Inspired by events elsewhere in the Middle East, thousands came out to demonstrate on the streets of the second city, Sulaymaniyah. When youths started throwing rocks, the response was ferocious. It was the first bloody day in a standoff between the demonstrators and the authorities that was to last 2 months and claim the lives of 10 people. We've been invited into Zahir Mahmoud's living room. It's a fairly small, narrow space with a bed at one end and chairs along one side, but the room itself is dominated by a huge picture of his son Sirkiu.
We were sitting here in this room. My son told me, "Dad, I don't want you to go to the demonstration. You're old and sick. You might get under people's feet."
But Sirkiu, 16 years old and still in school, did go to the demonstration, even though his mother, Hunça Kadir, begged him not to. Sirkiu was shot. He was rushed to hospital, but he died of his wounds that same evening. So far, no one has been prosecuted for his death. Zahir Mahmoud blames militias from Kurdistan's two main political parties, the Kurdistan Democratic Party, or KDP, and the PUK, the Patriotic Union of Kurdistan. These emerged out of the guerrilla struggle against Saddam Hussein in the 1970s and 80s. These paramilitary groups were known as the Peshmerga, those who faced death, and they eventually ousted Saddam from this part of Iraq in 1991. Today, the Peshmerga has become the official defence force of Kurdistan and a vital part of the Kurdish national psyche. Peshmerga songs can be heard blaring out of music shops on Sulaymaniyah's main streets. It's hard to overestimate the extent of their influence, says Assos Hadi, the editor of Awene, a prominent independent newspaper.
They are controlling the government, they are controlling even the civil society organizations, they are controlling the military forces, security, they are controlling the economy, they are controlling the education and everything.
At a primary school in Sulaymaniyah, a couple of dozen kids are going through last-minute preparations for a show that they're going to put on in honour of the anniversary of the founding of this city. And in the middle of this throng of children, urging them on, bossing them about, is Shina Abdullah.
If you don't have the political connections, it's quite hard to find a job.
Shana trained as an anthropologist and has degrees from universities in Britain and the United States. She should, she says, be teaching at the local university, not a primary school. But after a decade abroad, she doesn't have those crucial links with the political parties.
In fact, it's quite hard to do anything. If I want to publish an article, if I want to publish a book, you have to do it through the political party. You have to have connections as well.
Kurdistan is not poor. It has vast reserves of oil and natural gas. But, like many of the young people who came out to protest in Sulaymaniyah, like the hundreds of thousands who filled the streets of Tunis and Cairo in 2011, Shana believes that those in power are simply not giving people like her a fair share of the country's resources.
There's so much money here. It has nothing to do with money. Everything they have done is for their own benefit. You know, they have bought islands in Europe, and I mean, they're buying supermarkets and hospitals elsewhere for themselves. They have bank accounts everywhere. If you're not connected with them, you're not benefiting.
Compared to the rest of the country, Kurdistan is secure and stable. That brings with it opportunities for business and development. And for many, those opportunities ultimately trump the freedoms and equalities demanded by the protesters. Kemal Kirkuki is the Speaker of the Kurdish Parliament and a member of the KDP. Kirkuki says that the violence in Sulaymaniyah last spring was caused by a small group of troublemakers. Kurdistan, he says, can set an example for countries like Libya and others who've more recently overthrown oppressive leaders.
We in the Kurdish leadership believe that if we have problems, we should not solve them through the use of force and violence, but rather solve them peacefully. If they do the same, then it will serve their interest, the interests of their people and their country.
On the 19th of April, after 2 months of continuous protests, government forces broke up the demonstration in Sulaymaniyah. They burnt down the protesters' tents and their makeshift stage and filled the central square with their own troops. And so, even though the Kurds ousted their dictator 20 years before the Tunisians and the Egyptians, it's now the Kurds who are taking their inspiration from the Arab Spring, says Assos Hadi, the editor of Awane.
When people saw the success of the demonstrations and the movement in Tunisia and Egypt, it was a very strong push for the people to do the same, to try to do the same, and to make a real change in the political system in Kurdistan.
But unlike in Egypt and Tunisia, the demonstrations in Kurdistan seem to have failed, for the moment at least. Kurdistan may indeed turn out to be an example of what Tunisia, Egypt or Libya could become 20 years after their Arab Spring. But, says Assos Hadi, it's not a model to aspire to.
If they will try to become like us, I think they will need another spring to change the situation.